Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Hello, Matt.
Rick, good morning. How are you?
Hey, man, it's been a few weeks. You know, we usually...
Did you miss me, huh?
I did miss you. Where were you? Oh, you were sick.
I was out of town and stuff, and then you had had somebody else week prior, you know, trying to take my seat or something. I don't know.
Yeah, trying to replace you, but I just can't. No one wants your job. It's too hard.
They can't do it. Keep you rolling, it's easy.
Yeah, that's true. You do only write 4 million programs a week, but... Yeah, man, it's been good. So business is good. Gym's slowly creeping back to normal.
Yeah.
I think things are normalizing a little bit. So all good.
Life feels good. I mean, I have kids in school.
And they're actually going to school.
Yeah, they're in school. And then we actually had a softball practice last night. It was great.
Was everybody masked up or no?
No. Never know.
It's Georgia.
Yeah.
If you don't care and you're cavalier, come to Georgia.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody's fine.
Well, I was about to say, like, yeah, look at that. We don't have any more cases.
And then football starts this week, man.
I know. I did. I saw, you know, of course, you know, Jake went to Naval Academy.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a game and they got thumped. I'm like, man, they're going to have a tough year. And you know what's weird? They have this, of course, we're getting off topic as always. So hold that thought, folks. They have the Commander in Chief Trophy, which is basically whoever wins out of Air Force, Army, and Navy.
Yes.
And I was talking to my son, and he was like, "Oh, it's kind of unfair because obviously he's Navy, but Army I think is only playing like 4 games, and I think Air Force is only playing in the Commander in Chief games, so only playing those 2 games, and the Navy is in like the MAC or something, like a hard conference. Mm-hmm. They got to play Houston and Memphis and all these other really good teams, right? Or seemingly pretty good teams. Then they have to play these guys, so these guys are just going to like." Plan the whole year just to play this one game, you know? So,
yeah, everybody knows what Navy's doing anyway.
Yeah. Hey, is this a heads up to any coaches out there? They're going to run the option a lot, and they're going to pass twice on 3rd and 20, and that's it. All right, well, listen, man, I'm pumped about today's topic. So what are we talking about? Tell the people what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about staying inside the box.
That doesn't make any sense, Matt. All the business advice I've ever heard is to tell me to think outside the box.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So,
well, it always seems cooler. You ever talk to somebody, I want to start a business, I just have to kind of come up with my new jazzy idea.
Got a new
right?
thing, man. Nobody's ever done this. Yeah. Right? So. Yeah. Well, this concept came from a book that I was reading, and it's called Be the Best at What Matters Most. I think the author's name is Calland, last name, I don't know. But it's a good book, short, simple read. And quite honestly, there's nothing in there that's earth-shatteringly revealing. It just simply points to what you and I already know, which is that you have to be committed to doing the basics really well. Right? So let me tell you a story.
You got a story?
I do. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So we do a lot of, for 10 years, we've been doing licensing. And a lot of that is consulting on the front end. And then giving people the materials that they needed to be successful long-term. And so I can distinctly recall sitting in someone's gym, and we were sitting in the front, it was a big gym. Mm-hmm. So we were sitting in the front area and we were discussing strategies and techniques and marketing plays on how to drive more engagement for the general membership to get into coaching.
Yep. Right?
And so we're sitting there and he's going through, these marketing layers, and I'm going to add this, and if I'm going to add this, and if you sign up for this program, you're going to get this t-shirt with a lightning bolt on, and I'm going to mail people this little gift prize. And it was all these tricks and trinkets and mm-hmm. things. And all of them in and of themselves were actually pretty cool ideas. They really were. So he was thinking outside the box, which mm-hmm. is what everyone tells you to do, right? Well, as I'm sitting there, at least 10 people walked into the gym, and not one person greeted the person. And not one person used their name. So no greeting at all. No hello, Matt. Nothing.
But you were just curling up into a ball.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, right? So, and by the way, this gym was struggling a bit, not only for coaching, they were struggling on membership sales because this is a gym that also sold membership. So the reason that we were coming in was because they're not selling a lot of memberships, their goal was to drive a higher return per member.
Right.
But when you start to see these things happening, you're like, right? So 10 people walk by, no one greets them by name, or greets them at all. Then later throughout the day, when I would, you know, walk around with him and we were looking out onto the floor, there were trainers like eating meals out of Tupperware, right?
Sounds like a trainer.
Yeah. Yeah. During the session, right? Trainers on the phone, trainers not paying attention, trainers sitting down, right? Just things that we know aren't good coaching, you know, from some of them are egregiously bad. Some are just bad body language or whatever. And so here I'm seeing all of these, like what to me are these super obvious things to fix. And this guy is creating essentially what we would describe as like icing on the cake, right? But their problem is, and this is what they say in the book that I thought was so funny, like, it doesn't matter what type of icing you have. If the cake isn't good, no one cares. And so it's some of that can't see the forest for the trees sometimes because you're missing it. The reason probably why you're not selling a lot of memberships is because you're not running a good business. Mm-hmm. Like you're missing the basics, right? You need to think inside the box. And what I mean by that is like, what is the main function of your business for your customer?
Right.
That's what you need to think about. In any outside of the box, air quotations, thinking that you do really is creative, but creative within the box, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're not doing those other things.
Well, correct. And if you are going to innovate, it should be innovation within that box. So it's a little bit paradoxical, but you think like, I'm going to think outside the box about how I can make the things inside the box better. So I know, right? So Matt's an eye rolling me, but this is how all of our conversations go, by the way. I'm in the clouds and he's like, okay, what? The story used in the book makes a lot of sense too. So this consultant is hired and he goes in and this guy has a hamburger restaurant and they sit down to eat hamburgers. So they're eating at the restaurant and the guy's telling him about his marketing plan. He's redoing the website, right? He's doing, all this geofencing, you know, to trap other customers from other brands, just all of these very advanced strategies and ideas and things that he's going to do. Well, but they're sitting there eating at the restaurant. And the author of the book is basically saying the hamburger's not even that good, right? I mean, your hamburger doesn't taste good. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to do all of those things unless you have a good hamburger. And then they literally would be the icing on the cake. But again, in this case, the cake being the hamburger, it's not, the hamburger sucks. So what's the point? Like, why are you worried about the plates that it comes on and the little chocolates that you're going to send home with everybody that are going to make you so different? None of that means anything if you still have a crappy hamburger, right?
Right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. And that's what I mean by think inside the box, because I think every business book and leadership is going to tell you, you got to be different than everyone else. And you got to do all these extra things that have never been thought of. And we even talk about that. We have some of those things as well, right? But if the inside the box, if the core service or product that you're offering to your customer is not really good, mm-hmm. and consistently good, it doesn't matter. Another story as an example in the book that was mentioned around restaurants was there was a restaurant that they had a patron, you know, a regular patron to the restaurant, and this person became ill where they couldn't leave the house. And they posted on social media that one of the things that they missed the most was their favorite meal from this restaurant, right? So the manager picked up on it. And, you know, they made that, he had the kitchen make the meal and they had somebody deliver it to this person at their home. And that's awesome. I mean, that is a great thing to mm-hmm. do and noble in and of itself, right? But the problem is, if you look at the Google ratings of this restaurant, they're only a 3 out of 5 and they have a ton of negative reviews. And so it really doesn't matter if every now and then you do something amazing and you made the one person happy. Let's say that doing that and taking someone off of the wait staff to drive over to the house, jammed up the rest of the restaurant and the service was slower for the other 400 customers that came in that night.
Right.
Right. And I think that's how you have to think about it is, you know, it's not that one or two things that you do every now and then. It's the day, it's that 20-mile march that we talked about in the Jim Collins podcast, right? About the Stockdale paradox and all that. Yep. And the companies that are 10X better than other companies, they do the 20-mile march every day. They get up and they have the relentless pursuit of the basics,
right,
and doing them really well. And so I see this in fitness a lot, like the hamburgers. People like, they want to do marketing automation and they want to do this and they want to do this and they want to do that. And at the end of the day, they're not even saying hello and using people's names when they come to the front door.
They're thinking more through the almighty dollar probably, and they're going to make more money than thinking just actually working on that customer experience and doing all the small things right is actually the thing that's going to move the needle. Because we know in just the gym world, you could be the crappiest trainer in the world, but be super nice and fun to hang out with, and you're going to have lots of clients.
Right. And so we would say, okay, well, that hamburger's not that good, and, you know, in that case, because they should be doing more technical training. But remember, this is the only thing that matters is the lens of the customer. What purpose are you serving? What job are you doing? And we talk about jobs to be done or job of the product. What job is your service doing? And if you're not doing that well and doing it consistently well, thinking about a million and one little tricky marketing plays and other things that you're doing outside your club, it's not going to matter.
Right.
Because again, it's the scenario of driving the meal over to the sick person, which is a noble and awesome thing to do, but it's not going to make any difference to your business unless you're providing that person, let's say it's the gym, that person that comes to your gym, that's sort of middle of the road, who's reached their goals to a certain degree, and they're your steadies, and you're just taking them for granted because they've come 3 days a week for the last 3 years, right? Right. That's the person that that you need to be servicing well. And that's the person whose expectations need to be met, right?
I think the perfect example of what you're saying is Quick Trip. They're like the epitome of, they're not doing anything differently. They're still a convenience store that sells gas, but every time you go in there, they're super nice, they're polite, and the place is super clean. You get in, you get out.
Well, in the book, the author talks about, like, decide what your things are, right? Mm-hmm. He mentions an electrical company, and that company is, we're going to show up on time, we're going to do good work, like we're going to do quality work and do anything that we need to, right, to make it right, and we're going to clean up, you know, clinically clean when we leave. That's it. Right. So everybody that leaves that day, they know we're going to be always going to be on time, which would be a big deal. I mean, think about how many times you sit around, you're like, oh, the plumber's like freaking 45 minutes late, you know? Yeah, it's irritating.
6 hour window.
Right. So you may, as the plumber, think, well, it doesn't matter. They can't do the work, so they got to wait for me anyway. Yeah, but you're in competition with other plumbing companies. So always be on time. Always do all the work that needs to be done with integrity and make it clinically clean on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Just those three things, right, could move the needle. So it's exactly what you, to your point.
So, I mean, you know, in a gym setting, we get it. We need to be nice. We need to have good customer experience. We need to create, you know, the same thing every day, right? What happens if you don't? I mean, I know you have a good story like barbershop. What happens if you create that up and down where one day is great and the next day is okay? What happens to that client?
Yeah, and we did a whole podcast on this, but I'll briefly tell the story again because I think it's a good segue. I mean, it's a good illustration of how this can affect, you know, a consistent customer experience will beat an amazing experience every now and then, right? So I think your baseline has to be good enough. And so in this book, in The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, he tells the story about getting a haircut. And he said a friend refers him to this new barbershop. So he goes into the barbershop, and it's an amazing brand new place. You know, it's really clean. There's a person working at the desk. They introduce themselves by name, shake his hand, and they give him a cup of coffee while he's waiting. And they said, hey, when the barber's ready, I'll walk you over and introduce you. He's like, okay, not cool. You know, so far, so good, right? When it's time, he goes over, he's introduced, he sits down, and the barber tells him, listen, I just got back from a seminar. I'm going to cut your hair dry, you know, without the razor, just with the scissors, because it doesn't tear the ends of your hair. It gives you a better haircut. And he's like a guy, so he's like, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. So he's getting his haircut, a great conversation or whatever, and he gets his coffee freshened up during the haircut. He's like, man, that's pretty cool. So when he's leaving, they ask him, would you like to book in again? He said, yeah, book me, you know, 30 days. I'll take it 30 days from now. When he comes back 30 days from now, it's a Saturday, so the place is mobbed because every guy's in there on a Saturday, right? And this time it's really harried at the desk, right? So he doesn't really, kind of gets a quick introduction, but not the same as before. You know, he gets a cup of coffee, but then when he gets introduced to the barber who waves him back when he's done, he doesn't get escorted back there this time. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Sits down, you know, barber grabs the clippers this time, shaves the back of his head, cuts the top dry with the scissors. He's like, oh, you know, whatever. Yep. By the way, his hair looks exactly the same, right. And his coffee didn't get freshened up, but he gets it because it's super busy, right? No big deal. So when he's on his way out, same question. You want to book in again? He's like, yeah, I'll come in 30 days from now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes back in 30 days. This time it's over the holidays. So the person at the desk is on vacation. And so the barber yells up there, hey, so-and-so's out of town, you know, don't worry about it. We don't have any coffee made. You know, can I get you a water or something? He's like, no, I'm fine. So he's like, all right. And then when the customer leaves, the barber waves him back. He comes back, sits down, grabs a spray bottle, sprays his hair wet, cuts it with the scissors, and he's done. And so he stands up, looks in the mirror. His hair looks exactly the same as it did every other time he's been in there, right? So the barber now walks him to the front and says, hey, you want to book in another 30 days from now? And he says in the book this, he says, I'll never go back there again. And it has nothing to do with a haircut.
Yep.
And so what he means by that is, even though the haircut was the same, the customer experience was so different every time that he went in, and it was nuanced, right? It was like, did you get the coffee freshened up or not? I thought you told me that you learned this seminar. We're always going to cut my hair dry without the clippers, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're cutting it with the clippers. Next time you sprayed it wet. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
When in the end game was the same. Right? Yep. The hair always looked the same every time. But there's such a detachment to the customer experience that it just turns you off and you don't even know why. So if you look at that through the lens of a gym, if you, every time you went in to work out, you got a good workout. So mm-hmm. let's say you got sweaty and you got to work on some things, right, that you wanted to work on. Okay, great. But if it was different every time, right? If a different coach sometimes did the warm up, sometimes didn't.
Right.
Sometimes they gave you the extras at the end, sometimes they didn't, right?
Yep. Those are the things that get you.
Those Absolutely, are the things yeah. that get you. And it's that commitment to those are the things that we would say are inside of our box. And those are the things that are the hardest to stay convicted mm-hmm. to do because it's boring. It's the 20-mile march. You get up and you have to be absolutely convicted and you are going to do the basics really well every single day because that's what the customer says that your job is.
Right.
And that's what is inside of your box.
Well, I think it's also important to think about is don't come up with anything that you're going to do at your facility unless looking at like, can everybody do this? Right. You could be that, say, cool trainer that knows all these corrective exercises and knows how to stretch this, that, and the other. Well, if nobody else can do that, then you can't do it. Not right. especially not in our model. I mean, if you're going to be bouncing around.
Well, exactly. If you're going to work with more than one coach. Now, if you're a standalone coach at a club and it's like you eat what you kill and it's your job to just go and build customers, yeah, being different than everyone else.
But sure, you still have to do it every time.
Well, I was about to say, like, yeah, exactly. Like, you have to provide that same experience, even if it's just you and your clients. You know, much less you get to a bigger scale, a personal training studio, bigger scale, a 50,000 square foot gym, right? And so what are the things that are in that box? And you need to simplify it for your team. So again, back to the electrical company, we're always on time. We do amazing work and we complete the work that's what we're supposed to do. And we do mm-hmm. a good job of it and we leave it clinically clean on the way out. Those are the type of objectives that you need to give your customers. We have, and we've covered this in a podcast, the 7 core tenets of an amazing session, right?
Yep.
We need to hit those every single time. If we do, and we do it consistently as a team, and we built them so that they are scalable and everybody could do them if they put out some effort, then we're cooking with oil, like we're doing a good job, right? And when we talk about this stuff, it sounds like flighty and kind of like, you know, kumbaya campfire type of conversations, but it's not. There's real metrics to this. So we may have even mentioned this before, but there's a company called McKinsey & Company, and they did a study on big, it was like Fortune 500 companies, right? A good sampling of them. And it was basically like customer ratings. Let's just say it's 1 through 10, right? And so the companies that could consistently hit a 5. So imagine that, like if 10 is the best and 1 is the worst, I don't think anybody listening to this or you and I would ever go into a boardroom and be like, all right, guys, our goal is to be mediocre, right? But what this study proved is if you can be mediocre consistently, so you can provide a very consistent experience every time, even if that experience is like meh, right? You're going to be far and away better than other companies who are sporadic and all over the board, mm-hmm. right? And so examples would be that the customer ratings for companies that consistently hit a 5 out of 10 were like 16% higher, right? Customer service ratings. Their cost of servicing those customers was 20% lower. So imagine all those little tricky things that you're trying to build around your business that are like, you're thinking they're going to move the needle and make everything really amazing. It's not going to make up for a bad cake. You know, it doesn't matter how good the icing is, right? So the cake has to be amazingly good, and not even amazingly good. It just has to be consistently pretty good, mm-hmm. right? That's all you have to do. It doesn't have to be ridiculous, right? And so, you know, there are hard metrics to support providing a very consistent customer experience and what that can do to your revenue. Because by the way, all those companies were better financially, better off than the companies sure. that didn't.
Yeah. So, you know, with all that being said, what would be your main advice for somebody that's coming to you and asking you to help them build a better business and try to create a more consistent customer experience?
No, I think first of all, be honest about what you're really doing for your customers, right? So what is, like, through their lens, what are you trying to do for them? Mm-hmm. And do that unbelievably well every single time,
yeah.
right? And so systematic approach can help. You know, certainly, like from a programming standpoint, you know, if we're having clients work with different coaches, we control our programming. And the reason that we do that is so that we can provide that consistent experience. So don't get into the haircut scenario ideally, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the main job of a CEO is really not even as much to teach as it is to remind people, because people just don't, people are busy. And I'm talking about like team members, right? Mm-hmm. So it's your job as the leader of that company, management, CEO, whatever you are, to constantly remind your team how important it is to be going after our 7 core tenets, or, you know, whatever the basics, again, get there early, do a great job, leave it clinically clean. I mean, you have to constantly go after that, and you feel like you're overstating it. Like, well, I already said that, you know, and I've said it too many times. You can't say
it. Yeah, don't let that happen.
You can't be too clear.
Right.
You can't over-communicate these things, right? They have to be discussed, you know, ad nauseum.
You know who does that really well?
Who's that?
The Ritz.
Yeah.
They have, what is it, 24, let's call them tenants or whatever, and they literally go over one every single day, and they just repeat them. They get through 24, go back to one. And this is everybody from busboys to the managers, presidents, everybody, every single day. They get together in groups. Imagine that.
Well,
and they're ballers.
Well, yeah, there's nobody better, right? I mean, you can go to their school and figure out customer service. And I think in a service-based business like a Ritz, right? Yeah, you have a product, you're renting a room, but it's really a lot about the experience around that service, similar to fitness. I mean, mm-hmm. workout's a workout, right? We provide a very good scientific workout. We get that. But at the same time, it's the experience around it. And can you consistently deliver that well? That makes a difference. But yeah, to your point, is it too much to go over the 7 core tenets every single week, or just pick one and drill down on it a little bit? Absolutely not, right?
No way.
Do we do that as much as we should? Probably not. Do other companies do it? Probably not ever do they do that, right? But when you look at the best companies that you would want to emulate from a customer experience standpoint that do the things inside the box fanatically well, mm-hmm. right? That's how they do it. They communicate it like you said. I didn't realize they did that, but it's that's the way to do it. And you know what? Your staff doesn't remember and you're bored of it. They're not bored of it, right? They haven't heard it as many times as you have. Mm-hmm. So I would say decide what the things are that are in that box that are really important to your customers. Build some systems around that and then just go after it day over day over day. And your commitment to doing those things really, really well is what's going to set you apart. You know, people think someone like Steve Jobs was an amazing out-of-the-box thinker and innovator. And he was. But you know what he innovated? The stuff inside the box. You know, Tim Cook, who took over, right? Who was the CEO, they were at a conference and there was a round top table there. And there were like a six-person round top. So not that big. And he said, everything Apple makes is sitting on the table in front of you. And we say no to more good ideas and amazing ideas than you can possibly imagine to make the products sitting on your table the best possible products they could be through the lens of Apple. So when you look at like a Steve Jobs and the culture he has created, yes, he was an out-of-the-box thinker, but if this makes sense, he's thinking out of the box on how to make the stuff inside the box better, right? Mm-hmm. Be really careful not to start just... I'm not talking about... don't offer, you know, other revenue streams or do things like that. But I can tell you, and certainly in small business ownership, I do see a lot of things are just distractions for people, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not even getting the basics right.
Yeah, if you're not good at anything, like you just, nobody, I mean, how are you going to make any money?
Right. Well, again, it's like saying I'm going to open a cake shop and I'm going to like make a mediocre, like kind of shitty tasting cake. And then you know what? It's okay because we'll have a bunch of different frostings to put on it. No one's going to care. Or I'm going to come up with the best marketing strategy and I'm going to give everybody a little chocolate on the way out and I'm going to create all these little things. But you know what? I'm a hamburger place and my hamburgers aren't even that good. So you're not going to win and you're missing the forest for the trees. I think it's easy to do that as owners because as entrepreneurs, we're looking for what's next. We have business leaders telling us to be innovative and to think outside the box. And I think it's a huge mistake. I think the relentless pursuit of the basics, the things in the box through the lens of the customer, what fits in there. If you're going to innovate within that and create technology and anything you bring to the table, better improve what's inside of that box or don't even bother with it because it's nothing more than a distraction.
I know we did a podcast too just the job of your product we talked about. You got to actually know what your service is there for.
Yeah, and you know who tells you that?
Your client.
Exactly. Yeah, so do some client surveys and figure out what they think are the most important things. Build your business around those most important things. And then any innovation or any kind of outside thinking cannot be a distraction to your core service or product, and making that as absolutely as, you know, the best that you possibly could. And if it's a service, it better be consistently good as well. You know, again, per the restaurant, right? They're getting a 3-star review and delivering home meals to one person. And that, but unfortunately, that's not how their customers see them.
Right.
They may see themselves that way because they did that once. Mm-hmm. The customers see them as a 3-star review because guess what? The food's not always that great and the service kind of sucks.
Yep.
So anyway, I know we kind of talked all around it today, but it's just a really good point to remember to get back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you're really doing for your customers. And then any kind of innovation or whatever that you're going to do, make sure it fits into that construct, right? And inside that box, and then get after it.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.